We reflect on rivers, all they bring us, and all we owe them. This place is a sacred space, one of the places in which we consider, pray, receive, and respond to grace and beauty. One of the places where we can be challenged to hear the demands of the divine and the planet. In this month, on this day, in this place, we journey the river of life. Welcome, everyone, and a special welcome to visitors and, of course, our regular attendees. Today, after the service, there will be a brunch in the church hall, and even if you forgot to bring some food, don't worry, there's always plenty. Now we have our call for worship. We call to the rivers to worship with us. The Clutha, Rakaia, Manawatu, and Waikato, all rivers that flow to the sea. We invite the streams to sing. Trout and water crays, inanga whitebait, cockabullies, and eels singing praise. We invite the river birds to add their praise. Fio and mallard duck, kingfisher and dragonflies call their praise. We join with the waters in their hymn of praise. Waterfalls, singing streams, rushing rapids, and still pools. Ripples that dance at the river mouth, sing, river, sing praise to all creation. And now, let us pray. We remember the rivers across our planet, rivers that are the lifeblood of Earth and vital for all forms of life. We remember the streams of our past, the pools and ponds where we played, and the feeling of celebration as we splashed each other. We remember and rejoice. We give thanks for rivers, streams that flow with the water of life. We acknowledge and confess that we have become alienated from Earth and have polluted the rivers of our garden planet. We are sorry. We have polluted our rivers with poisons. We have treated our streams as waste dumps. We have turned living waters into death traps. We have wasted precious waters in luxury living. We need to be taught to love Earth and return to Earth as our home. Shalom, shalom, we are coming home. As we come home to Earth, as we seek to love our home, as we seek to care for our kin, open our hearts. Creation's glory fills our planet. May we discern the vibrant presence among us and our kin in creation, especially in the rivers, the streams, and waterways of Earth. Help us empathize with creatures who are suffering. May our spirits lift and rejoice with the vibrant world of the rivers and waterways of our planet. And we continue with the Jesus Prayer we say each Sunday. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Now, I see that we have some rainbow candle lighters. Who's going to come? Oh, more than that. All right. Would you like to? You can take that one. Is it going to go? You have to come to the back, I think. That's where the wick is. Oh, Jasper, do you want to blow it out? You can't because you're wearing a mask. Thank you very much. Now you can sit down, and Ellen's got a story for you. Well,
tēnā koutou, kia ora tamariki mā. So it's River Sunday. Who remembers swimming in a river last summer? Out there? Yeah, lots of hands. Awesome.
No.
Whoa. Sorry, Kezia. I just thought you might want to tell everyone. Okay. Where do you remember swimming? Oh, yeah, swimming on Banks Peninsula around January in a river there. How about you, Alex? No. I remember swimming at Kai Toki in the summer. How about you, Jasper? Yeah, but what about in the rivers? What do we find in the rivers? Fish? Yeah. Whoa. We saw a big tuna, a big eel. Wow. I don't think I'd be quite as keen to get in the river as I am around here if there were piranha in the water, I have to admit. The most amazing thing of all in the river, water.
A giant water bomb.
Well, yeah, it can be you doing a giant water bomb in. So I'm going to talk a bit about water and how we are connected to water and how, if we think about rivers, one day that we are actually connected and that we will one day be part of that river in a sense. So I have brought along a water molecule puppet called Y. Yeah, that's right. Water is life. And also, yes, well, that's sort of where we're getting to actually. So I'll just run through it quickly then. Here we go. Here's Y. One day I was floating on the sea under a very warm sun. Suddenly, whoosh, I was in the air, a tiny bit of water floating on the breeze. Higher and higher I went until I reached lots of other bits of water. There were millions and millions of me. We all joined together. It's a cloud, yes, it's a cloud. And then, Jasper, you just said what happened? It rained. Yes, and the rain ran down the land and into rivers. And then, well, actually, I mentioned Kai Toki because I was thinking about how we went swimming in the river there in the summer, but that is also one of the places where our water comes from, that area. So quite directly, some of that water, Y, and many, 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 many billions of water molecules, get pumped down into our house and drunk. And so we are made of millions and millions of Y. And one day, of course, this leaves our body and starts all over again. Yes, and so you know about how connected we all are, and that each time the Y, when water molecules go on a journey, they land in a different place and someone else drinks me or breathes me in. So that is a way of remembering how connected we are, and actually with people in different places and over time. So that's a little story about water as part of celebrating River Sunday and Season of Creation this week. So let's get together in a circle.
All right, now you can go. Oh, and for the rest of us, we're passing the peace, remembering the ways we do it. The reading from the Hebrew Bible is from Ezekiel chapter 47. I found this text very puzzling until I consulted Jim. The Israelites, after returning from their long exile in Babylon, found a desolate, arid land, and their temple destroyed, all of Jerusalem destroyed. All was doom and gloom. But here, Ezekiel sets out a vision. This is his plan for the new temple and the fresh water, fresh running water, living water, to nourish and irrigate the desert again. And in this way, he gives his people hope as they see how their world can prosper and feel
inclined to work for the good of their country again. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There, water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me round on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastwards with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Araba. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the waters will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish once these waters reach there, and it will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from Engedi to Eneglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." The New Testament reading from John 7. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom his followers were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Andrew Matthews, and today Wendy and I are sharing the service and the service with you. Today is a special day to celebrate rivers and their place in our lives and in the ecosystem. We place importance on rivers, and yet they only account for 1% of the fresh water of our planet. And indeed, fresh water itself is only the small fraction, 3% of the water of the planet. As we know, most of the planet is salty water. So there is no question, in a way, of there not being enough water on the planet. It's a question, of course, of where it is and how good is the supply. Water is special, as I hope to show you today, in this blue planet of ours. and there's certainly a lot of it. And here we are at the middle of the universe, in this blue planet, and I'm not sure whether the red is symbolic, but I won't go there this morning. It may be in a month's time. Rivers hold a special place for us, and it's reflected in literature and poetry. Their sparkle and bubble feature in music, some of which we'll hear today. And in language, we talk of bridges, building bridges to link and to join, or burning bridges, or a bridge too far. And so rivers do join us, and we can think of the great transport systems on rivers around the world, the Rhine, the Mississippi, and the Mekong. Rivers divide states between Germany and France, Vietnam and Cambodia, Brazil and Paraguay, Uruguay and Argentina. And of course, rivers continue to be the source of much of today's conflict over water rights and water use. What gets most attention, of course, are the visible rivers, but the rivers that flow underground, out of sight, are really important. The extraction of water from aquifers in many countries is not sustainable, including New Zealand in parts, and particularly we think of Canterbury. Yes, the rivers are particularly important as a source of fresh water, but also a large drainage system, flushing waste to the sea. And as Alan has eloquently said for the children, the water cycle is so important that evaporation from the large oceans of the world, seeding clouds which then rain, go in the transitory space of rivers to the sea and back to the ocean for the cycle to repeat itself again. And many cities of the world are built or straddle rivers, and there we can think of Baghdad and Bangkok, Belgrade and Berlin, Budapest and Buenos Aires, Cairo and Khartoum, Damascus and Delhi, Lisbon and London, Melbourne and Montreal, Paris and Prague, St. Petersburg and Shanghai, Warsaw and Ouagadougou, Hamilton and Alexandra. Here in Wellington, the Hutt River is our lifeblood. But with Auckland, rivers are a problem. Built on a great harbour and a city of sails, but you can't drink salt water. The Bombay Hills stop the Waikato River from flowing north, so it turns west and goes to the sea. Auckland's really built in the wrong place. It now has a pipeline from the Waikato and receives a third of its water supply from the Waikato, 40 kilometres south of Auckland itself. But the conflict of waters and rivers comes when the flows get low, either through over-extraction or the building of dams or through pollution. The latter partly, of course, because of lower flows, the concentration is higher. But also it's because of people pressure. And as I said at the beginning, the small fraction of fresh water, 1% of the fresh water, and fresh water is only 3% of the global water supply. And it's our Western lifestyle, in part, but I put this slide, just the population growth. And if we turn to the next slide, it says, but the water extraction, although exponential, is 2.5 times greater than the population growth. So the rate of increase of demand for water is 2.5 times greater than the growth of population. And if we look at where the populations are, the last 1 billion people on this planet are urban dwellers. And with urban dwelling brings lifestyle changes. And of course the demand then is very people driven, as the next slide says. This is a Sunday in Ganges, not like this community. Next slide, please. But here's people pressure. And the next. And here's Beijing with people pressure. Two countries with 1.3 billion people or so. Next, please. But this is New Zealand. This is pressure too, because it's both people and animal production, if you like, that of course causes the pressure on water in New Zealand. We can pray for the future. We can also work hard about what we do. Next slide, please. That's the possibility. And then for us, next slide, please. We're fortunate to have the Hutt River as our supply and the main supply of water for Wellington. As you probably all know, almost for 10 months of the year, we have sufficient water to extract from our rivers. And for 2 months of the year, we use the reservoirs that we've built up by extracting the water during the rainy season, particularly in the winter, so that we can survive those two summer months. As I said, a bit different in Auckland, as we've had the early parts of this year, the severe drought and difficulties with water supply. This people pressure, it's interesting to reflect that by the mid-19th century, the English urbanised middle class had formed an ideology of cleanliness that ranked alongside such typical Victorian concepts of godliness, respectability, and social progress. At the beginning of the 20th century, a weekly Saturday night bath had become a custom for most of the population. After a half day's work on Saturday, factory workers allowed themselves some leisure to prepare for the Sunday day of rest. The half day off allowed time for the considerable labour of drawing, carrying, and heating water, filling the bath, and then emptying it afterwards. In the late 20th century, commercial advertising campaigns pushed through new bath products that began to influence public ideas about cleanliness, promoting the idea of a daily shower or bath. The rat race of gels and body washes, shampoos and conditioners, cleansers, toners, fresheners, tighteners, moisturisers have led to some of our American friends, particularly, showering with fresh towels 3 times a day. No wonder the rivers are running low. Some of the issues, of course, are very close to home. In the Ophira Valley, there is real concern of the state of the Ophira stream that sometimes can be as contaminated that it's 400 times above WHO standards. Sometimes the cause and effects are not obvious. The planting of forests in the upper catchment of the Wairau and the Tasman district have had significant downstream consequences, leading to insufficient water in the rivers to irrigate the vineyards around Blenheim. With intensifying dairying in Canterbury, we have the contentious issue of water extraction affecting flows in the aquifers that are further downstream, and this affects Christchurch, of course. Freshwater supply is connected to our daily needs. It's about food production and feeding the planet. Our bodies are 60% water and our food is over 90% water. Our daily drinking needs are 2 litres a day. Our simple sanitation needs 50 litres. On average, Wellingtonians use 380 litres per day, including, of course, for washing our bodies, the dishes, the car, the clothes, and watering the garden. Again, it's a lifestyle issue in terms of water in the food we eat. If we're vegetarians, you can add to that 380 litres a day, 200 litres a day to produce the food we eat as a vegetarian eater. But if we're meat eaters, then it's 3,000 to 5,000 extra litres a day to prepare our food. And this is the issue. Is there enough fresh water to meet the demands? We need to have sufficient quantities and good quality at the right time. The freshwater deficit is growing worldwide. It's certainly related in part to our lifestyle choices. Deciding how we allocate and protect water in our rivers is really important. It's our lifeblood. We need to care. Wendy will now bring us the contemporary reading.
I thought, how lovely and how strange a river is. A river is a river, always there. And yet the water flowing through it is never the same water, and is never still. Hardly ever.
It's always changing and it's always on the move. And over time, the river itself changes too. It widens and deepens as it rubs and scours, gnaws and kneads, eats and bores its way through the land. Even the greatest rivers, the Nile and the Ganges, the Yangtze and the Mississippi, the Amazon and the great grey, green, greasy Limpopo, all set about with fever trees, must have been no more than trickles and flickering streams before they grew into mighty rivers. Are people like that? I wondered. Am I like that? Always me, like the river itself, always flowing, but always different. Like the water flowing in the river, sometimes walking steadily along, andante, sometimes surging over the rapids, furioso, sometimes meandering with hardly any visible movement, tranquillo, lento, sometimes gurgling with pleasure, sometimes sparkling in the sun, sometimes appassionato, sometimes misterioso, sometimes staccato, sometimes vivace, and always, I hope, amoroso. Do I change like a river, widening and deepening, eddying back on myself sometimes, bursting my banks sometimes when there's too much water, too much life in me, and sometimes dried up from lack of rain? Will the I that is me grow and widen and deepen? Or will I stagnate and become an arid riverbed? Will I allow people to dam me up and confine me so that I flow only where they want? Will I allow them to turn me into a canal to use for their own purposes? Or will I make sure I flow freely, coursing my way through the land and ploughing a valley of my own? For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your offering for the work of this church and this community will now be received. And while we take that offering, there is some Schmettner to play in the background into a collage of some of the great rivers of this planet. Thank you. Like the disciples, we sometimes feel we have little to offer and that what we have won't make a difference. We bring ourselves, gifts and ourselves, in the trust that way together our intentions and energy will multiply and bring justice and joy to others. Amen. It's now time for notices. If you have a short notice, then please come forward.
Bryant, member of the congregation. Next week after the service, I'm hoping to do some work in the garden out the back. So the plan is that it's just going to be all perennial kind of flowering plants. So, but I'm after any plants that you are excess to your garden, if you could bring them along and I can put them in along with some help. So after church next Sunday.
Kia ora tātou, Trish McBride. You may have seen the notice about my book launch in the e-news and in the bulletin. Just a couple of things about it. It's a collection of pieces written over the last 10 years, which have been quilted together, hence the title, and multiplying metaphors. For me, the intellectual, theological aspect of Christianity and the contemplative experiential aspect are like two strands of the DNA helix. So I have tried to bring those together in my thinking and in my reading. I would like to thank Andrew and Wendy for beautiful words this morning, and I'm sitting there going, I think I've also been saying something like that, so lots of echoes, thank you. And my thinking over the last 10 years has, of course, been strongly influenced by the 8 years of it that I have spent with you people. So I'm really hoping that a lot of you will pop the 10th of October into your diaries and join me for that celebration.
Sorry, I'm a bit multitasking today, sorry. At the moment, I have my hat on as the St Andrew's representative on the Interfaith Council in Wellington, and it's here to tell you about the Week of Prayer for World Peace, which is the 11th to the 18th of October. Now, there will be a leaflet that's available, hopefully next week, which I will be able to give out for people who are interested. This is a leaflet where we pray at home, basically, through the week. It's been produced by a multi-faith committee based in the UK, and we're all being encouraged to use these leaflets. So this is the 11th to the 18th of October. So this is a preliminary notice, and hopefully by next week we will have the leaflets.
Lynn Dovey, I just have been asked by Jennifer Bush to thank everybody who's supported her over the last few weeks. Jennifer's doing, really pleased to say, a little bit better and a little bit better every week. She's now venturing out of the house on foot, and her task last week, I think, was to cross the road. She said that's a very confusing thing to do when you've had a brain injury. But she's just hugely grateful for all the support that she's had, and her ambition is to get to church on Christmas Eve.
Kia ora tātou, I'm Bronwyn White. Just a quick reminder about our Mainly Music Quiz, which is coming up this coming Friday evening. If you haven't signed up, if you've been thinking about it, it's not too late. I would ask that you either sign the sign-up sheet or email me. There's no need to do both. And if you were thinking of putting a team together and you have got one, I'd be really pleased to hear the numbers as soon as you can. This is a great opportunity to support St Andrew's fundraising for the pipe organ and have an enjoyable time together.
Kia ora, Sue Hurst. Just a reminder that also after the service next week, exploring faith sessions will resume transmission. So they'll be in conference room 3 after service next Sunday. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Barry Keenan, and I have an apology. In our orders of service this morning, there is a comment that we will have Ian Harris's piece on the End of Life Choice Act. Unfortunately, Barry forgot to bring them this morning. They will be available next week, and that is still 4 weeks before we have to decide at the election day.
So now we come to the prayers of the people. In the season of creation, we give thanks for the freedom to enjoy the emerging spring. In this COVID time, we hold in the light people in unsafe, cramped places, especially those in refugee camps. We also pray for all those in our prisons, in cramped places, men and women, and the staff whose task it is to keep order. We remember the prophet Micah's injunction to do justly, but also to love mercy. And we pray for compassion in the middle of very difficult circumstances. In this parish, we pray for discernment as the parish continues the task of choosing a new minister. And we hold in the light those in our community and those who have links with us personally, who are struggling with ill health and frailty. And we name them silently. From the prayers in the book, we pray for the people of Yemen. May peace be brought to your place. May they achieve peace and justice. For those facing trauma, may their needs be taken into account. Palestinians, not only under siege in Gaza Strip and constrained in occupied territories, but also facing COVID-19 with no hospitals available. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Botswana. We remember the detainees of Manus and Nauru Islands yearning that their cases be resolved. In New Zealand, we remember those who work this election season, candidates, members of political parties, and voters. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Englewood United Church. And so we pray for St. Andrews. If you are a visitor here, please feel free to make this the prayer for your place. Together we say, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow the way of Jesus, and new bonds of love with people of other faiths. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the dias of beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
We're now going to sing the hymns, the Shirley Murray hymn that we're singing, in fact, each Sunday in the season of creation, God of the Galaxies. And what I can invite you to stay standing at the end of this hymn so that we say the blessing together. We go now in peace and in love, and we take that love with us to our wider community to live justfully, respectfully, and with compassion.